finished talking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved David as his own soul. Now, it seemed kind of weird. You know, this guy says he loves this other guy like his own soul. It seemed kind of strange. We don't like to read that. But what happened? Jonathan saw in David something admirable. He saw in David a kindred spirit. Jonathan was a warrior. He was a fearless guy. And he saw in David a guy that had no fear, that trusted in God, that didn't trust in his sword, his armor, the men behind him. He trusted in the Lord, and he was fearless. And Jonathan loved that. He found a kindred spirit in David. And even to the point where Jonathan's love for David meant that Jonathan had to go against his daddy. His daddy wanted to kill David, but Jonathan would tell him, he would warn him about his dad's intentions and keep him safe because he loved David, because they were buddies, the closest of friends. And why was their bond so close? If you look in 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 42, it's on your screen. It says, "The Lord," this is a pact that they made together, "the Lord shall be between me and you and between my offspring and your offspring forever." You see what bound them together? So the Lord will be between us. That's the bond that we have. The Lord is between us. That's what we have in common. This is a biblical friendship. For some of you, you weren't too familiar with that story that I just told you. Maybe you've seen the movie or read the book, The Lord of the Rings. And if you're not familiar with that story, it's a trilogy. If you have a lot of time to kill, pick up the books or watch the movie. And the main character in the movie is Frodo. Not Frodo. Frodo. And that's Frodo in the back, okay? And Frodo has this mission. I mean, he's found this ring of power. And this ring is so destructive that if it gets in the wrong hands, the world can never be a safe place again. And so to bring peace on the earth, he has to take this one ring of power, and he has to take it to the one place it'll be destroyed, Mount Doom. It's a good name, Mount Doom. So he's on this journey, but he's just this little hobbit, and he's so scared to go on this journey by himself. And he doesn't have to be alone because he has his trusty sidekick, Sam. So this little chubby guy to the right here, that is Sam, and that's his good buddy. And this is what he says to Frodo. This is what Sam says to Frodo. "You can trust us to stick to you through thick and thin to the bitter end. And you can trust us to keep any secret of yours closer than you yourself keep it. But you cannot trust us to let you face trouble alone and to go without a word. We are your friends, Frodo. We know most of what Gandalf has told you. We know a good deal about the ring. We are horribly afraid. But we are coming with you, or we are following you like hounds." That's a good friend, isn't it? We're coming with you, or we're following you like hounds. What does he say? I have to look at it again. He says, "We're going to stick with you through thick and thin to the bitter end." Thick and thin to the bitter end. You want to change the quality of your friendships, you got to change the quality of your character. And I'd encourage you to adopt this quality, constancy, consistency with your friendships. Like Sam, thick and thin to the bitter end. Number two, second mark of a biblical friend, candor. C-A-N-D-E-R, candor. Word we don't use very much. Look in Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27. I encourage you to write these little marks in your Bible. I have them in mine to remind me of where they are. Proverbs 27 and verse 5 says, "Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Fateful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy." What is candor? Weird word. Candor. You ever have somebody that said, "Can I just be frank with you for a minute? Can I just be honest with you? Can I be brutally honest with you?" And we say to them, "Well, what are you normally? Like, do you normally lie to me?" But candor is this ruthless honesty. We want in our relationships to be the ability for us to be honest with each other. He says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. With a friend, you should be able to give and receive correction. And you see, this comes second. Remember, we first talked about constancy. You know, if you're not consistent with somebody as a friend and you come to them and you try to point out something that they're doing wrong, they will not appreciate it. That trust has to be built, doesn't it? But when it's built with a biblical friend, you should be able to point out things that you see in their life. Of course, you don't want to just be Captain Negative, pointing out negatives. You want to be an encourager. Point out the positives, but you need to be able to be ruthlessly honest. You need to be able to have candor. Does anybody know what a blind spot is? You know what a blind spot is? So you're driving in your car. If you're 16 years old, pay attention. If you're driving in your car, you have a blind spot. Your mirrors on the right and left side, they're good mirrors, but they can't see everything. And there's this little place towards the back corner of your car that you can't see with those mirrors. So you're driving on 81, and you want to get over into the passing lane. The fast lane is the passing lane. So you want to get over into that lane, and you look in your mirror, and what do you see? You don't see anything. There's nothing there. So you put on your turn signal, you start moving over, and what happens? Beep, honk, because there was a car in your blind spot, and you didn't see it. You know, all of us have blind spots in our life. There are things in our life that we don't see. Things in our life we don't see. You know, every one of us has strengths. We have strengths, and we're very aware of our strengths. I mean, if I ask you, what are your strengths? You know, people do that in a job interview. You would probably be very quick to tell me what your strengths are. You remember in a job interview, do you remember the last time you were asked for your weaknesses? You're like, you can't think about them because you don't think about what your weaknesses are. But every strength that you have probably has an opposing weakness. You know, I love church history. You hear me many times, I'll tell a story from church history. I love church history. And every one of the people that I consider heroes, you know, people that dreamed great things for God and they attempted great things for God, they all had huge blind spots. I mean, they had huge strengths, incredible strengths, and everybody knows about them. But if you look carefully, I was just thinking about some of my heroes. I see in them racism in one, a neglect of wife and children in another, gluttony in another, pride in another. We all have blind spots in our lives. And we need somebody that can blow the horn. Somebody that can tell us what they see from their vantage point that's in our blind spot. Pastor Tim Keller in New York, he says, we need to issue our friends hunting licenses. We need to give them hunting licenses. We need to allow them to enter the dark places, the secret gardens in our lives, and call us to holiness. The French writer Montaigne, I think this is up here on your screen, next slide, he said this: those who venture to criticize us perform a remarkable act of friendship, for they undertake to wound and offend a man for his own good. Is to have a healthy love for him. You know, some people will try to wound you, to hurt you. They will. You will have many enemies, few friends. Pastor once told me that. Many enemies, few friends. But some of your friends can wound you for good, can't they? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. And we need to have friends that are willing to point out those spots in our lives. Some of you men know this verse in Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. I love that verse. Iron sharpens iron, and it takes another man to sharpen another. What's required with this? I think I just want to be practical for a second. What's required with this? I think you have to spend time with other people, don't you? Your friends, We talked about constancy. You have to spend time with them. You have to speak to them. I think you need to ask sharpening questions to your friends, like, how can I pray for you? Where are you struggling? Where has God been at work in your life for the good? Ask sharpening questions. You know, get lunches with your friends. You know, I was reading this statistic. It said that families have a meal together. What did it say? Over the past 30 years, families having a meal together have gone down 33%. Over the last 30 years, friends having a meal together has gone down 45%. It's not just about eating together. It's about sharing a meal together. You know, when you share a meal together, you share time together. You talk together, and you need to have that time with friends where you can be candid. You need to make occasions in your life like that. We can be candid with your friends. The third mark of biblical friendship is this: carefulness. Carefulness. Turn to Proverbs 25:20. Proverbs 25:20. This is what it says. Whoever sings songs to a heavy heart is like one who takes off a garment on a cold day and like vinegar on soda. It's kind of weird, right? What is that proverb saying? That proverb is saying that your friend is in a time of mourning. They're downcast. Their spirit is low. And you come to them singing a song. You come to them with your most happy self. What's wrong with that? That's not helpful. They're downcast. They're in a bad place. The timing is wrong. What is he saying in this psalm? He said, it is like ripping off someone's coat on a cold day. Do you remember back in January earlier this year? We got all that snow. Shake your head if you remember that. There was a lot of snow. Maybe it was February. I can't remember. But imagine on that cold day, you come up behind one of your buddies, and you just like, you say, let me take your coat. And you pull their coat off. Will they be happy with you? No, they won't be happy with you. But if you invite them into your home where you have a fire going, and you say, can I take your coat? They appreciate it. Why do they appreciate it? Because the timing is right. It fits. It fits the occasion. And sometimes we have to think about not just the words that we use. Many of us have, we know the right words, we know the right things, we know the right things to say, but the way that we speak, the timing is completely off. It's completely wrong. We need to be patient. We need to wait for the right time. It says this in Ephesians 4 and verse 29. Write it down. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up. Listen to what it says, as fits the occasion, so it may give grace to the hearers. As fits the occasion. We need to speak carefully in a way that matches the occasion. We need to also speak carefully in a way that matches the individual, don't we? Have you ever been to a tailor shop? I had a wedding suit that I got from Hudson Belk. That was really baggy, okay? And I never really wore it again because it didn't fit me. It fit some mannequin at Belk's or something, or some model, but it didn't fit me. And so I went recently to Harrisonburg to get it tailored. And what do? They pin it up in the back, and they pin the jacket, and they make it fit me. And what we should do with our words, if we want to give grace with our words, if we want to be a good friend, is we want to be careful and make our words fit the occasion and fit the person. I mean, for my wife, I'm going to pick on her because I think she's nursing our child out in the lobby. She does not like me to come to her with truth first. I like to come with truth first. This is what we need to do. We need to get this done. We need to do this. You know, we need to do this differently. What does she want me to do first? She wants me to come with grace first. She wants me to come with grace and say, I appreciate you. I appreciate everything you do for our family. And I think it would really help us if we change the way we're doing X, Y, and Z. She wants me to come with grace first. If I come with truth first, it's not fitting. It doesn't fit her. I need to come with grace first. And we need to speak in a way that's careful with our friends. The fourth mark of biblical friendship is this: counsel. Proverbs 15:22, and this is the last place I'll have you turn. Proverbs 15:22. Fourth mark of biblical friendship is counsel. If candor is the ability to be brutally honest when we see blind spots in our friends' lives, counsel is the ability to ask a friend what they think about a decision that we're going to make. To ask a friend about a decision that we're going to make. You know, I've found in ministry, you know, pastors get a unique perspective on people's lives, for good or for bad. And what I found so many times is that families and individuals in the church, they will make a decision that maybe in the heat of the moment, or maybe they've thought about it for a really long time. In the end, it works.